What is up, Sammy?
Hello.
So today's Friday, going into Easter weekend now. And I guess kind of a relevant topic, right? Today we'll be talking about support systems, family, friends, loved ones, all that good stuff on a weekend where most of the time we're spending it with our family. So that'll be cool. Do you have any plans for this weekend?
No, we are. I feel like this is finally the one holiday that like not many people focus too much on. So we're like, we have no plans, no dinners, no traveling here, traveling there. So it's just a nice relaxing weekend to just catch up on everything.
Good. Good. Yeah, that's nice. And I agree with you because I feel like a lot of times the Monday after Easter, nobody has that off. So it's still right into a work week for most people. So you can't go too wild on Easter. Yeah. Maybe on some, you know, chocolate bunnies or something like that, but that's about it.
Yeah, nothing too crazy.
Cool.
But yeah, I think this is a great topic, especially because we are really diving into busy season in competing. And I feel like, and I'm sure you can agree with this or you can attest to this as well, but like with my clients, my posing clients, this is something that I hear about a lot. And even just like being backstage, you kind of hear people talking about, you know, their support system, or it's something that people don't talk about and they're wondering if their scenario is normal, if this is normal, and then they tend to deal with it themselves and not really have, you know, an idea or a guideline on how to handle the backlash, or, you know, if they don't have a super supportive support system. So they're, you know, they kind of struggle through prep because they don't know how to navigate it. And then they have a bad, you know, connotation to competing and prepping because they've had such a hard time. So I definitely think this is a good topic to talk about and kind of shed some light on for sure.
Absolutely. And I think while we were getting ready to record, you and I have had very different experiences in our prep journey. So I think that's also really cool because I think we can provide two very different perspectives on this topic. So
100%.
Definitely looking forward to chatting with it. So, you know, support system, that is something that's so important to have as an athlete. And sometimes we don't have it too. And so how do you go about making your way with or without a great support system around you, and what are some of the common things that we run into? So to start off, I guess there's so much, Sammy, should we start with kind of like romantic partners, family, like, I, you know, what's a good jumping off point? Cause I think we have a lot of stuff we want to cover today.
Yeah, I think starting off and kind of identifying where your support system can come from is important. And then we can kind of break it down from there. So I think, obviously, first and foremost, the first one is going to be family, whether that's brother, sister, mom, uncle, grandmother, you know, whoever's a relative of yours, or a romantic partner. If you have a boyfriend, a fiance, a girlfriend, a wife, husband, whatever the case may be. So we'll just, you know, label that romantic partner. That's going to be, you know, kind of fall under that family umbrella. And then you have coworkers, you know, if you're going to a 9-to-5 or whatever your work situation is, coworkers can also be a support system, and friends. And I feel like under that friends category falls into the gym family, you know, so I go to the gym the same exact time every morning. Everybody that goes to the gym at that same time every morning is seeing me there every morning, seeing my progress, things like that. So I think that is also a great outlet in terms of a support system too, to kind of identify.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So for you, Sammy, what is your support system, or kind of how did you develop that during your years competing?
Yeah, so I feel like starting off in my competition journey, I was working. So I worked in a very male-dominated industry, so I didn't have a lot of, like, close friends at work. So, you know, I guess I still talked to my coworkers about what I was doing, but was kind of selective in what I said because I just wasn't very open with my coworkers in my personal life. But that was definitely a route for me, you know, my friends that I'm super, super close with, they were a support system for me as well. But I would say my biggest support system was probably my, you know, my family. My husband has been in the industry for 7 years. So that was, you know, a big, like, something that I am super thankful and grateful for, to have someone that kind of understands the path. And then, you know, my sister and my parents. For them, I would say that was something transitioning I had to educate them as to why I was doing it, let them know, you know, what the end goal is or what the process is, why I'm doing this, what I'm doing it for, and things like that. So just kind of building up their education over time, I think, helped a lot. And then two, I actually just thought of this, your coach. That's a huge support system. So, like, to have you as my posing coach during competition season and even off season, I feel like that's a great person to lean back on, especially because you've, at the time, well, and still now, you were going through it yourself. You've been through it. You turned pro, and now you're competing as a pro. So to have, you know, you to ask questions that were more, you know, relative to the industry, like, hey, what should I expect for this? It was nice to have, you know, you there to kind of answer those questions as someone who'd been through it. And then, you know, my coach Kyler as well, he's a competitor. So he kind of, you know, knows it on the male side of things, but still he's coached where he coaches women. So he's been through it too. So it's really nice to just have those outlets as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what would you say? Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to describe
ask you how your experience was.
Yeah. So, and this is where I think our perspectives will hopefully be valuable, because you're married, Sammy, and you've been with your husband, Chris, for a long time. And that's not my experience. My very first prep, I was living with the guy I was dating at the time. We had moved from Indiana together, and I moved out of our apartment peak week, like the week before my first show. So my experience has been a lot more autonomous. I have my family, but they're not here in California with me. So I have my parents, they're in Michigan and in Oregon. They're both remarried. So they're there for me. And I think early on too, they didn't really know what I was doing with competing. So obviously they're going to support their daughter, but they're professors. Like, something like bodybuilding was a big surprise for them, and I don't think they fully understood it for a long time. So it's just different. For me, I think my support system, and though I have had supportive partners over the years, I'm not married. I got a lot of support from friends and actually a lot of support from my coworkers. I was working in engineering full time until early 2022. And the office I was in, I think, was just very progressive and very, like, very young, like a lot of young people out of college, a lot of young engineers. And so it was very targeted. The offices were very targeted for millennials. Like, there's free snacks, free drinks. They brought trainers in to do workouts in the warehouse twice a week at a certain point. A lot of people did triathlons and stuff. And so I think a lot of people in the office thought it was cool what I was doing, and they would ask me a lot of questions. And though things would get really busy sometimes, like some days I'd have 8 or 9 meetings, we had a break room. Most people were fine with me eating in meetings. So I was able to get my meals in pretty regularly and kind of had whatever I needed. So that was where a lot of my support system came from. Nowadays, I think probably all my friends are like bikini competitors, bikini pros. My roommate Rafa is a retired bikini Olympian. So she's truly lived the path that I'm trying to get, you know, the place that I'm trying to get to. She's been there. So she has a lot of the similar experiences. Just like you and I have connected on that. She and I are able to connect on that a lot. So I do feel like I've had a good support system over the years, but I've definitely had the experience of also, you know, not having family nearby, not having a romantic partner, and just how do you deal with those tough parts of prep where you'd love to have someone kind of lift you up and kind of just needing to sustain yourself or push yourself to get through those moments. Cause a lot of times those things and the things we feel are temporary, but when you're doing it alone, it can feel extra hard sometimes. So that's been my experience.
Yeah. And then, so let's start with kind of, I think diving into coworkers first is a good one. Cause I feel like that's not as influential. Like, it could be, you know, it is a big part, especially, like, if you're spending 8-9 hours plus a day at work. Your coworkers can be really influential, but I definitely think most of the conflict comes with friends and family. Mm-hmm. So I feel like both of us in the grand scheme of it had, you know, really positive experiences with coworkers in terms of support and things like that. But I definitely know that there are people who do struggle with that and kind of tips and things like that to work on that. I think the first one would probably be meal availability, especially for those who are like nurses or something that's like a very high demanding on your feet. You don't necessarily, like for me, when I was working, I was sitting at a desk all day. So I was literally waiting for my alarm to go off. Like, okay, it's 12 o'clock, time to eat. Okay, now it's 3 o'clock, it's time to eat. But again, not a lot of jobs are lenient like that. Like, you get one lunch break a day. And that's, you know, that's your time frame to eat, right? Mm-hmm. And other than that, you know, you wait till you go home, or, you know, you eat breakfast before you get to work. So I think, do you have any tips for people in terms of meal availability and getting their meals in still while at work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's probably a lot more people now still that are working from home post 2020, although I think a lot of companies have pushed people to come back to the office. I think there still are a lot of remote workers. So if that's you, it's not as big of a deal. I think when you're working from home, you can kind of just grab stuff as needed. And yeah, the coworkers and the work itself, it's more of an environment thing. So obviously if you're working from home, that's probably a very easy scenario. The environment's very much in your control, and
yeah,
you kind of have what you need. When you're going into an office, it is a little different. Sometimes it truly depends on the type of work, right? Like if you're a retail worker where you're on a sales floor or something like that, that's quite different than being an accountant who's working at their desk and has no meetings and can just kind of work independently all day long. So depending on the type of role that you have, really trying to build in the little breaks to eat. And if you've got all of your meals prepackaged, ready to go, if you have to, you can eat stuff cold if you don't have a microwave or whatnot. But try to build in those breaks. So for me as a project manager, it wasn't that I couldn't eat. We had a break room. We had a full fridge. Like, we truly had everything you needed. We had a coffee maker. So there's like unlimited coffee and caffeine available too, which was always great for prep. So key. But a lot of times I would be in meetings. And because I was a project manager, a lot of times I'm the individual running the meetings. Most of the time, like let's say they're team meetings or, you know, meeting with a customer or something. So if I'm talking and if I'm doing everything, I can't be sitting there chowing down on my chicken and rice. Yeah. So I would kind of look at my day in advance. Like typically my strategy was always, I used to work out in the morning. So I'd work out in the morning close to the office, get ready. And I would try to get to the office a little early, because if I did that, no one would bother me. I was a very, very collaborative person in terms of how I was doing my work. So I would like to have that quiet time in the morning where no one's there to just kind of get myself situated and ready for the day. And by doing that, I could kind of map out based on my meetings and things on my calendars. Okay, you know, and there was a pretty protected lunch break. Like the office was really good about kind of forcing everyone to take lunch. They did not want to encourage you to sit at your desk, because that really over time is shown to just reduce productivity and focus and job satisfaction. So we all had a pretty protected, blocked off lunch break. But then, you know, I'd kind of find those little windows, or, okay, what meeting am I attending that, you know, I'm not in charge of running it, and I can kind of sit there and quietly eat while someone else talks and I listen. So I would kind of just try to plan my day like that. And then, you know, the meals after work, very simple. The biggest thing I think sometimes with work is it's the environment's not as much in your control. And so that is a space where you're more likely to get negative feedback, or sometimes the backhanded compliments, or just, you know, people who are really uninformed and they just want to ask you all these questions and you just want to be like left in peace and mind your own business. So that can be a little bit of a challenge. And I think that comes up too with things like our friends, our family members, especially extended family members, of just how do you deal with that? That can always be a challenge. So I don't know if you ever had experiences like that.
Yeah, I think the comments and the pressure is the biggest thing. So I was in wholesale. So we would have vendors come in and drop food off all the time. We would get crumble cookie. We would get donuts. We would get bagels. We would get lunch. We would get all of, you name it, someone dropped it off. And my desk was right next to the table where they put everything. And it was, well, can't you just have one bite? One bite's not going to kill you. That is, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I'd be able to pay for every show that I compete in for the rest of my life. I promise. Like, and I'm sure a lot of people can attest to that too. And it's like, it's letting them know, it's like, what's one bite? Like, that's not, I'm like, it's not even worth it. And it's so funny because that comment was made so many times that like everybody in the sales pit heard it. So no one, after I made, you know, my response, a few times, no one even asked again. It was like, I was very adamant that like, no, I'm not just going to take one bite. There's no point in it. I don't need that cookie. I don't need the bagel. I have my food. I'm not even hungry. I don't even want it. I'm at the point where it's not even necessary for me, or it's like, it's not even beneficial for me. Like if I take one bite, of course I'm going to want the whole cookie. So why am I just going to take one bite? Like it's not worth it. So too, it's all about your mindset in receiving those comments, right? It's like, if you're going to be like, wow, yeah, I really wish I could have one bite, then it's almost like you're taking pity on yourself, but you decided to do this. So it's like, when you receive those comments and, you know, dish your response back negatively, people are going to keep poking you to say, well, it's just one bite. I know you want it. Or if you're going to stand your ground and say, no, it's not worth it. I have a goal to achieve. They're never going to ask you to take just one bite again because they know that you're serious about what you're doing. But if I would have responded and been like, yeah, I know it looks really good. Like, I wish I could take the bite. They're going to be like, yeah, we'll just do it. Like what's it going to matter?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like when you hold your ground, no one's going to give you shit because you're confident in your decision of what you're doing and why you're doing it. So I think it's also about how you receive the comments and the pressure. And I think that goes both ways. You know, we kind of tie that into the family comments and the backhanded compliments and things like that. So it's like, if you just hold your ground and you're firm on what you believe in, no one can sway you and no one can change your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of times too, things like that, where people are encouraging you to go off your diet or do what they're doing, is they're seeking a little bit of validation of their choices, truly. Mm-hmm. And I was very fortunate in my environment. Like, we were a close-knit team and people just kind of accepted one another, right? We had a lot of lunches and food brought in too. We had all the free snacks as well in the warehouse. And a lot of times people just want validation. And that goes especially with friends too, you know, eating like them, drinking like them even. I know I had that experience where I lost some friends when I first started competing because I stopped going out to bars at all. Not that I was ever, you know, a really big drinker early on competing, but I just stopped doing that as an activity. And so you stop doing that and guess what? You stop getting invited to things. Like, you stop getting invited to that. Plus the bottomless brunches and all that stuff. So maybe we segue into like friends, because that's probably friends, a support system that's, you know, much more important, right? For just our happiness and well-being. And we get to choose our friends, right? So for you, Sammy, how have you maintained positive friendships, or how have you found a friend group that's supportive of what you're doing, or how have you kind of kept the peace if you've had friends that knew you pre-competing and are adjusting to who you are now as a competitor?
Yeah. So I feel like my friend group is also transitioning into the becoming parents. So a lot of our friends, like all the girls, have been pregnant in the last few years. So I have been very lucky in that sense of like, sometimes my prep aligns with their pregnancy, so they can't drink either. So I'm not drinking and they're not drinking, both because we, like, mine's a choice. Well, I guess theirs was a choice too, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have been very thankful in that sense, but there have been preps that didn't, you know, they just stopped being pregnant, right? So they're on full force, like, we're ready to drink. It's been 9 months. Like, I'm ready to go. But it was back to the educating them, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm really passionate about this. I really like, and I will say, most of it was last, like a lot of this that I experienced was last year when I was going for my pro card, because that was the longest prep that I had done. So I'm like, guys, this is super important to me. This is the goal that I'm trying to achieve. And I really want to do this for me. And it goes back to educating them, helping them understand what it is that I'm doing, why I'm doing it, letting them know that I'm really passionate about it and why it's so important to me. And when I feel like when you share that insight with family, friends, whoever, they understand, they're like, wow, I'm excited for her now because she's excited for this, right? Like, she's confident in what she's doing. She knows why she's doing. She's passionate about it. So I'm excited for her. I want her to succeed. And that's where, like, you know, picking your friends and surrounding yourself. And I understand that not everybody has that same experience, but again, we get to pick our friends. Like, if you're not surrounding yourself with people who are excited for the things that you're trying to achieve, reconsider the people you're friends with. Like, yeah. Even if that's like, you want to compete, or you want to, like, even it could be the smallest of things. Like, if your friends aren't excited for you to level up and achieve things, they might not be the right friends for you. And I'm not saying you have to, you know, only surround yourself with people who are in the bodybuilding industry. I can truthfully say none of my friends are interested in, but like, they're not interested in bodybuilding, like in terms of doing it themselves. Like, they're very active people. They you know, they work out, they run, they do whatever, but they're not necessarily at the level of it that I'm at, but they still understand it and support it. Maybe they don't, you know, their goals don't align with it. They don't want to step on stage and compete, but they're still understanding of it. So it's like, if you're surrounding yourself with people who just want to party and go out and get drunk and spend money and, you know, go to brunch every Sunday and Saturday and go to the bar Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, then, and that's not what your goals are aligning with, then reconsider the people you're surrounding yourself with. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can have like, you can go out, but not drink. And if your friends don't understand that, then maybe they're not the people for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that can come down to environment a little bit too. I think for me, I feel very lucky because now I have so many friends that are competitors. So we just really understand one another. But early on, I didn't. And here in Orange County, especially, I feel like as you get close to the beach, there is a really big party culture here in Orange County, or just mm-hmm. I think anywhere you live by the beach, there's going to be a bit of a party culture somewhere around there. And, and that's kind of, you know, my friends were more in that mode, or they were more in a like work hard, play hard mode. So they had these maybe very intense 9-to-5 jobs. And then when they weren't working, they just wanted to like get drunk and forget their problems. And that wasn't really a good fit for me. So you mentioned something, which I think is really key. You talked about explaining the why of what you're doing and educating them. For you, Sammy, I mean, you've been with Chris for a long time now. Did you guys ever have to have that conversation, or was it just so a part of both of you guys being involved in fitness that, like, did you ever have to have that sit down conversation of understanding what you're doing, or when you decided you wanted to compete, was that a conversation or a topic you had to bring up?
I think in a sense of, it's like, how passionate are you about this and how important is it to you? I think that's the conversation. I think that was like the most prevalent for us because probably years ago at this point, Chris did go through a prep. He hasn't competed yet because, funny, we're talking about this topic, he didn't have a super strong support system at the time. So okay. He went through a prep. had some conflicts and then didn't compete because of it. So now that it's kind of the opposite for us, he really understood what it was to go through a prep. So he understood the process and the importance of it and the mood swings and the things like that. Obviously, there was a lot of navigating it based on just us and our dynamic. But I think the overall understanding of like why and what it is was already that level of understanding was already there. But it was like, okay, I know what can happen, but it's like, all right, we're going to have to just deal with those as they come because, you know, everybody handles it differently. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. And it was more so like, as it went on, it was like, because initially I competed just to do it once. And I was like, oh, I just want to do it once just to see how it goes. And then I did it and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this for a long time. And it was like, all right, like, do you understand what that means? And it was more so like him kind of educating me as well, which was really nice because it was like, do you know what that means? Okay. So from there, what's your goal? What's your end goal? How long are we doing this? What are we trying to achieve to do this? So it was kind of just like bouncing ideas back off one another.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I love that. So that's huge. I think a lot of people run into conflicts with their partner because maybe they're not on the same page. I mean, I think Chris was the one that kind of got you into fitness, correct?
Yeah. So that's how we met. So fitness was a New Year's resolution for me. I reached out to him, for training and nutrition program. And then it kind of just went from there. Yeah, so
that's cool. That's cool. So, but that's probably not everyone's experience, right? I think there's a lot of women, for example, whose husbands maybe appreciate that, you know, their wives or their girlfriends want to look really fit, want to look awesome in a bikini, but don't really know what's involved or what to expect or how to navigate just normal conflicts that come up in relationships. Especially when your partner's hungry, tired, short on time, carb depleted, all that. So I think it'd be great for us to talk a little bit about like family, romantic partners. How do you keep those pieces of your support system really positive, intact? How do you, you know, what are the challenges that come up? How do you navigate it? From your experience, Sammy, because I know you've got a bigger family than I do. Like, are there certain things that you run into with your family? Like, have there been challenges? Have you had to have the like explaining your why conversation with members of your family to get their buy-in?
Yeah, I definitely, especially, so my sister lives here in California now, but my parents don't. So I don't see my parents in person as often. And, you know, when I'm in prep, I don't call as often. I don't, you know, I'm looking different. I'm losing weight. I'm thin. I have diet face. And when you're on FaceTime, all you see is diet face, right? So it was a lot of explaining to my parents, like, obviously their concern is, like, are you being healthy? Are you being safe? And it's like, I don't want to use the word ignorance because I feel like that just comes off so strong, but it's lack of knowledge, essentially. They don't understand like what this is. So it's more so like, obviously a genuine concern that most parents are going to have when you're doing something super extreme. So I can't blame them for it. The only thing I can do is educate them. It's like, listen, I'm being safe. I have a coach that I trust. They're not doing anything crazy. I'm not doing anything that's going to affect me long term. They know that my goal is to have kids. So they're like, well, is this going to affect that? No, I'm doing everything properly. I get my blood work done. I, you know, pre and post prep. Like, my coach isn't doing anything that's going to affect anything like that. You know what I mean? So it's just really just reminding them that what I'm doing is, while extreme, still healthy. I'm taking a very healthy approach to everything. And while competing is very important to me, having a family is also very important to me. So I'm not going to do anything that's going to, you know, affect my lifelong goal just to compete. You know what I mean? So it's really just like, it's more of the reassurance. And then again, always reminding them of the why. And I think the fact that my sister is local, we go to the same gym, she sees me training, she sees me because she's been to shows, things like that. She gets it, you know, a lot more because she's seeing it firsthand. We have more conversations than I necessarily would with my parents. So it's also nice in that sense that, like, there's times where my parents go to my sister. Well, is she okay? Yeah. Well, what is she? And my sister's like, yes, she's fine. So it's nice to also have that, like, liaison almost, you can say, mm-hmm. of, like, the backup. Like, yeah, she's fine. I saw her today and she's doing this, or she's, you know, everything's okay. So it's nice to kind of have that reassurance. For you, would you say, since, I mean, you've been competing since 2017, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How, like, do you feel like you still have to explain that to your parents, or do they have a good understanding?
Yeah, at this point, no, but I don't see them as much. My mom and my stepdad are in Michigan, and my dad and my stepmom are in Oregon, so I don't see them in person typically, and if I am in prep, I'm just kind of like, hey, I'm making my food, like, this is what it is, and my mom's kind of dealt with it. She prefers, obviously, if she can eat with me, she likes to eat. She likes to go out to restaurants. So they're pretty good about it. Have you ever run into, cause I know this is like a common scenario, say for like clients and things like that, especially too, some cultures are very big on eating and eating as a food, as a method of really demonstrating love. Have you ever had that, Sammy, where you've had like these family dinners or instances where, you know, you're not doing what everyone else is doing and it creates a little bit of conflict and things like that, or you're getting pressured to eat more? Like, has that come up for you?
Yeah, I feel like we experienced that a little bit. I will say Chris doesn't have a big family, so he has his sister and his dad here in California. So we don't have a lot of family here to do a lot of family functions, which, in the sense of competing, I'm very grateful for. Like, obviously, I love my family. I love spending time with them. But it's actually pretty nice that we don't have so much family here to where it's like, hey, this person's birthday is this weekend. This person, we have this and this and that. So we are homebodies in that sense, which is nice because it's just kind of like removing ourselves from any of that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in that same sense, it's like, you kind of lay down the law the first time the comment is made. And it's like, hey, this is my goal. If I want to accomplish it, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And this is what it takes for me to do it. So it's really just like putting that wedge in the comment the first time it's made and really standing your ground. And it's like, and that's where like the personal boundary comes. I'm a people pleaser. So it's really hard for me to kind of assert my dominance in that sense of like, I appreciate it, but this is what I'm doing. That's it. I don't want any questions. I don't want any comments being made. It doesn't help me. It's not benefiting you to make a comment. So it's like having that conversation one time and really asserting your dominance on the importance of this mitigates it moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I experienced that one time, and we almost did it as like a, before I even get there, it was like a precursor. It's like, okay. I'm going to show up and I'm going to eat anything that you're offering. Please don't take offense to it. I have a goal I'm trying to achieve, and that's it. So it's like, and that is hard. And I will say again, coming from a people pleaser standpoint, I hate disappointing people. It's like my biggest thing. I hate disappointing people. So I hate to make them feel any type of way, but I was like, listen, this is important to me. So I have to put my foot down. And I think since then, no comments have been made.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that too. Almost like preempting the conversation or that interaction of having to tell a loved one, like, hey, I'm not touching any of your food. I love that. I think, being proactive and just in general, right? With whether it's your romantic partner, your family member, your friend, if you're being a little bit proactive about communicating your needs or just what you're doing, it gives them a little bit of heads up to process that. And then if something does happen, you know, or you kind of want to do different things, there isn't that conflict there because you've already preemptively addressed it.
So what would you say, how do you navigate? So I know last prep for you, you were kind of in the dating scene. How would you say, is there a preface? So like, I know you asked me, did we have the why conversation with Chris prior to my prepping? What type of conversations or like prefaces, things like that, how did you approach that in starting a new relationship during prep?
Yeah. Last year it was a little bit challenging. I mean, it was fine, but yeah, I had started dating someone December of 2022. And so we dated basically up until July of last year. So that was around when my show season was getting started. And he wasn't a competitor. He was not a fitness person. He was more of just a entrepreneur and single dad. So that was different. I'd never dated someone with kids before. And so April is when I started my prep of last year. And so I did genuinely like sit him down. Like we had like a weekend trip to Vegas late March, which was kind of like a last like hurrah for like eating, any drinks, like things like that before I started dieting. And so I felt from my perspective, like I did a good job kind of giving him an idea of what to expect. And so I just sort of explained, honestly, like here's what it's going to look like. I'm going to be spending more time at the gym. Like early on, it's not as big of a deal, but cardio just keeps going up. So I'm going to keep spending more and more time as I go. I'm going to be getting more and more tired. At times, my sex drive will probably be low, but that will probably be towards the end, like the last month or the last like couple weeks. And I felt like I really outlined all the key things, and it didn't really work out for us. I don't think it was just the prep or a scheduling thing. Ultimately, I just don't think we were compatible enough. But yeah, I felt like I did a good job at least kind of giving that warning or heads up so that he could understand what to expect. And at the same time too, I kind of offered, I'm like, look, I'm happy to come over to your place and meal prep extra. Like I'm happy to cook for you guys because I'm already going to cook for myself. So it's really not any extra work if I'm just using more food. He had an apartment with a nice big kitchen too. So it was very easy. So I think it's one of those things where when it's a newer dating situation, you should sit that person down and try to explain to them what to expect and make sure that you're on the same page, because relationships are about compromise. It shouldn't just be one-sided. It shouldn't just be, well, here's what I need and it's about, and this is, and me, here's what I'm going to do and here's what I need and stuff. Like relationships are give and take. So I think as the competitor, you also have to understand that you cannot, and during your prep, you cannot just be fully selfish. You have to make sure that your partner's getting their needs met too, and that you're checking in with them, and it's not just all about you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I feel like that part is super important, because I feel like bodybuilding is a very, and everybody listening, take this with a grain of salt, it's very self-absorbing, right? You're focusing on...
I don't think that's a shocking thing to say. Yeah, it's selfish. We all know that.
Yeah, it's very selfish, very self-absorbing, but rightfully so, right? We need to be in tune with our body. We're changing our own physique, but you have to remember too, like you are a person in someone else's story as well. Like it's not just your story that's happening. Mm-hmm. You're a person in someone else's story. So it's like you said, you suggested, you offered to cook. Like, I feel like that's huge. It's like, hey, I'm going to be eating meal prep, but I'm more than happy to make for you as well. And then that could be a time where we, you know, we spend time together. Mm-hmm. You sit in the kitchen with me, you know, whatever it may be. And it's like, especially for that, it's like, hey, I'm going to be training at the gym and doing cardio. Do you want to come, like, if they're interested in the gym or they do, you know, train, do you want to train with me? That can be a time where, you know, we're bonding together. We are together. And things like that, or also planning activities that aren't food focused, mm-hmm. going bowling, going, you know, there's so many different activities can do.
Yeah. There's a lot you can
do. Get coffee. Like There's so many things that aren't food focused that you can do, and just really enjoying each other's presence. Like, I can't tell you how many times we actually had Disney passes the year that I was in prep from March to October. We would go to Disney and I would eat chicken out of a bag, but I still enjoyed the hell out of Disney. Like, we would go to downtown. Thanks. We would go to downtown Disney and go bowling, and I would literally ask for an extra plate and pour my chicken on the plate so I felt like I was, you know, eating from the restaurant. Like, it's when you don't put so much focus around, like, don't let prep consume your life. Like, you can still live your life if you plan properly. Like, you can go places, you can do things, like, plan your meals around those things, like, eat before you go, or, you know, drink a diet soda if that's, you know, allowed in your plan while you're there to, you know, feel like you're included, or have a house salad, you know, whatever, bring your own dressing that you know is calorie safe for you, or, you know, whatever it may be. And I've done that a number of times too, like, just to feel involved. I'm like, oh, I'll just take a house salad. I pick out whatever I know I shouldn't have. I bring my own dressing that I know is like zero calorie or whatever it is. So I feel normal eating with everybody else, but I've had my protein rich satiated meal before I went. And that was my plan. It's like knowing that you can still be involved, but not necessarily, you know, exclude yourself really. But, I think that part is super important. And two, it's like, again, you're part of someone else's story. So making sure their needs are met and what they need and want is also part of it too, because it's like, yeah, you're choosing to do this. Like, they didn't ask you to do it. They didn't force you to do it. You chose this yourself. So you have to make sure that while you're asking them to be supportive of you during this time, you can't neglect how they're feeling and what they're thinking during this time either.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great point. Probably a little sit down at the beginning of your prep or as you're figuring out your season is a great idea, whether you're a new competitor or you've done it many years in the past with the same partner. I think it's just good to get on the same page. Like, hey, if I'm going to be dieting and we, you know, our time together is just us watching Netflix on the couch after I'm, you know, home from the gym and I've done all my posing and cardio and stuff, is that okay? You know, you might have a partner that's more social, that's more extroverted, that does want to go out to dinners, that wants to go to Disney, or maybe you've got kids. Like, that's a really common scenario too. A lot of women have families, and you can't just not, you got to take the kids to all their stuff and just sort of manage and navigate that. And like, good on you, Sammy, for going to Disney on prep. I went once. I did that a few years ago. And I was like, I'm never coming back here on prep again. Like, I had an annual pass and everything. And I did it once and I brought my meal bag in the locker. And I was, this is not worth it. I like dessert too much. This is a problem. So you're a champ.
Thanks. And I was like, it's funny because I was like, oh, I'm making a note of that. I'm making a note of that. I'm making a note of that. So literally after Iron Games in September, we went to Disney. We went to downtown Disney. And I was like, obviously, you know, in moderation, but I was like, that's the one thing I haven't stopped thinking about since the beginning of this year. So I'm going to eat that. So like, you just kind of plan for it too. And a lot of the times too, like, you're very just food focused. Like, by the time you're able to eat everything, you're like, I actually don't even want that. I only wanted it because I knew I couldn't have it.
I only wanted it because I was starving and anything sounded delicious. So,
what would your, and I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but like, for someone who doesn't know what to expect during prep, so a first-time competitor, what would your advice be for them to have, like, how should they educate themselves to then educate their family? So, like, if someone is a new competitor that doesn't know that low libido, mood swings, things like that, they don't know to expect that, how do they then tell their family to expect that?
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. for family, I'm not, I guess I don't have as much personal experience again because my family's not local. But like, let's partner. Say, yeah, if we're lumping in like husband, romantic partner in there. I mean, part of it is I think you have to see how you feel. Everyone's a little different on prep. But the reality is, and I think there's enough of this shared out there that no one's shocked that we get really tired during prep. And as you go, the prep just tends to get harder because you have to continue to create a calorie deficit in your body and your metabolism and your physiology are constantly going to be trying to kick you out of a calorie deficit for self-preservation, right? So if you just understand that, okay, at some point, you know, I'm going to start getting more tired. At some point, yes, my sex drive, my libido might drop. But I think this is one of those things too. We talked about this on a past episode where how we prime ourselves or our expectations really matter. So for me, for example, when I first started competing, you shouldn't be a completely different human on prep. Like, you're probably going to be a more tired version of yourself, but that's it. If you should not just turn into some monster or some diva because you're dieting. You chose to do this. It's a luxury to be able to prep, to have the finances, the free time, the health to prep. You're pretty lucky. Like, you're doing pretty darn well. You're probably in the 1% of the entire globe if you have what's required to be able to prep. So remind yourself that. Like, and when I did my first prep, I was very concerned that my work performance could suffer. So I made it a point that I'm not going to let myself show up any less at work. And I think that translates to your relationship. So you probably want to have a sit down with them at the beginning and say, hey, I don't really know what it's going to look like for me, but I'm anticipating that at some point during this 12 week or 18 week or 20 week process, I'm going to be more tired. I may not have as much sex drive as normal. And I just want to talk to you about that because I care about you. I'm very invested in our relationship. And I want to make sure that throughout this process, we're both still happy. We're both getting our needs met. And if things are a little different, I want you to know that it's just temporary and that I should be a lot happier, healthier, you know, hornier once I've had a little more calories post show. So I think, again, it goes down to that communication and almost like that proactive, preemptive communication of just like, hey, this is what to expect. And if your partner is that person, because I know my ex-boyfriend from last summer, he was very outgoing. Like, he did want to do these nice dinners. He did want me to be dressed up and eating and drinking with him, but he knew I kind of couldn't. And it's like, if that's going to be a point of contention, like, you might need to tell them like, hey, I don't really want to go out to dinner that much anymore. Hey, halfway or two thirds of the way through this process, I don't want to be going out to restaurants anymore because I would much rather stay at home and do a Netflix night with you and get our quality time that way. And just kind of having the conversation is the biggest part. I think a lot of times people just don't communicate and that creates the issue.
Yeah. And I think that's a really big point there too, because it's like, especially if you don't know what to expect, they don't know what to expect. And as a competitor, I think social media romanticizes the fact that prep is so hard, that everybody should be doing 2 hours of cardio while eating 600 calories. And that's not always the case. So I feel like a lot of people go into prep thinking that it's going to be, and like, don't get me wrong, it's hard. But it doesn't have to be as hard as everybody like paints the picture to be.
Your expectation, right? If you've convinced yourself it's going to be awful and you're going to be miserable and you're going to, you know, and you're giving yourself the liberty to act like a B word during your prep, yeah, you will. But if you really have it in mind that you want to treat your loved ones well and you want to be kind to your partner and you want to maintain, like, if that relationship is important to you, you have to realize that you've got to make it work no matter how tired or cranky you are. And a lot of that, I think, just comes down to communication. So
yeah,
it's, yeah,
and definitely. Yeah, for sure. I think communication is a big part. And two, honestly, it's, again, it's all about perspective. So like, it's funny now, this is a little funny story. So every prep or every show that I've done pretty much from the middle to the end of last year, from when I started doing like my nationals run into my pro season, Every place that we've landed before going to a show has had a Taco Bell. And it's almost a pre-show ritual that Chris gets Taco Bell before we go to check-ins.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, first, like, I could sit and just be pissed. I could be like, well, that's annoying. I can't believe you're doing that. Or I can be like, wow, this is pretty funny. Like, yeah, it's just like a every little time. Ritual. Like, yeah. And now every time we look for a Taco Bell, and then we go and check into our hotel and go to check-ins. So uh-huh. It's like, all right, now is there going to be a Taco Bell? Like, can we continue our ritual? Yeah. It's about perspective. Like, I could be a raging B-word every single time, make him feel guilty, but why make him feel guilty for something I've decided? You know, like, I think communication and perception is huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. And I think that's such a cool example, and it's really funny too, because like, what happens next show if there is no Taco Bell? Like, you guys are gonna have to, I don't know, settle for Del Taco or something. And that's it's really a great example, Sammy, and I think that's part of why like you and I get along and we're friends and stuff, is because like there are so, and I hate to say that, like there's so many people that just choose to be negative and choose to be bitchy or, you know, really like self-obsessed to the point where, yeah, you might damage your, you know, your bond with your partner a little bit, or you might, you know, really piss off your friends a lot for several months. When why do that when you could choose to be positive or to kind of flip the script a little bit? Like for me, when I do have friends that want to do things, or, you know, then they're not in fitness, it's like, hey, let's go get coffee. Let's go get our nails done together. Let's go for a walk by the beach. Like, let's find something else to do that's not just us, you know, having 12 mimosas and eating a bunch of food at brunch. Like, there's other things you can do. So I think it really comes down to your mindset and your intent of how you're going to be on your prep. If you choose to be positive, if you choose to be happy, you'll do really well. If you're choosing negativity, or you're just that type of person where, unfortunately, maybe that's a little bit of your personality, it's just going to come out more as you get more tired and more hungry.
Yeah. And two, it's like, do you want to ruin either a lifelong friendship or a lifelong relationship for a 12-week prep?
Yeah.
It's like, is bodybuilding, are you willing to lose everything in your life just to compete? So it's like, find that balance, find that middle ground that works for you and works for your partner, friends, family, whatever it is, because it's not worth ruining your relationship to step on stage. It's just, you have to take a step back and really look at the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a point that I think Sandy brings up in all of her seminars. And Kim Odo, he really echoes the same thing too. It's like, you know, if you don't have a life outside of competing or bodybuilding, things are out of whack. You have to make sure that bodybuilding fits in with your life, and your life is not fitting in with bodybuilding or competing.
Bodybuilding. Yeah. So. And I think like taking that's another really big reason why I always tell clients and just people in general to make friends backstage. Making friends backstage, you are surrounding yourself with people who are going through the same thing as you. To build that group of women, or if you're a male, that group of men that know what you're going through, to have that person, like, I could text Laura and be like, Laura, I'm having the shittiest day ever. She'd be like, you're probably being over dramatic. You're 3 weeks out. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. It's just someone who understands it. Like, who can talk, like, who's been there before, who can talk you out of it, who can probably tell you what you need to hear at that moment, but they've been through it. So that's why, like, that's another really big reason why I always stress, like, make friends backstage. Like, they are the only person who knows what you're going through. Like, yeah, your spouse or whoever has somewhat of an idea, but like physically they're not doing it. But like the person sitting next to you just did it for the last 12, 20 weeks also. So I feel like that's also a really good thing to kind of capitalize on and make an effort, because having those people who are in the same path as you, who really understand it, is also a really nice support system to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's how I've met some of my best friends, like Nikia Hovey. who's a master's bikini pro. She and I met right before check-ins at Governor's Cup in 2020 when we were all wearing trikinis and, you know, times were weird and stuff. And we stayed in touch through FaceTime. I remember she got sick with the virus back then and like we would FaceTime and we've developed a friendship. And now it's like if I'm really going through something, I know I can call her or text her at any time and she's there for me. So you can truly make some amazing friendships through competing too.
Yeah. And I also think that that's a great option too for someone who is maybe going through the process alone or doesn't have, you know, if you're traveling to shows, like you don't have someone to travel with, but if you have a friend who's competing, you stay in the same hotel together, you travel together, you meet each other at the show. Like if you don't live in the same, you know, location, it's always nice to have somebody. And I think that that's another great outlet too. Like not everybody likes traveling alone, but if you know that you're going there to meet someone, that's always nice, you know, to have as well.
Yeah. And that's maybe one like final thing we can kind of touch on here. Cause I think we've covered a lot with support system is sometimes we're going through prep and maybe we, you know, my experience last year, I went through a breakup before about a month before my shows started, the year prior, kind of similar situation. And I've had many years where I was just totally single. And I think I'm naturally an independent person. So I think I handle it really well. But there are times too, where I do get very lonely. And those are the times I think you need to recognize that even if you had a romantic partner is never going to fulfill every single one of your emotional or personal needs. And that's why having friends or coworkers or family members is important, because even if you had that boyfriend or husband or something, they're not going to meet all of your needs all the time. So having people you can reach out to if you're just like lonely or you're just seeking connection, that's huge. And sometimes I think on prep too, like you said, we're going to have days where we just don't feel good physically, emotionally. And reminding yourself, hey, this is probably temporary. I'm probably just very tired. Maybe I don't feel great today, but that shouldn't stop me. That shouldn't deter me from doing what I need to do today. Like, let me check off all my boxes. And guess what? Tomorrow's a whole new day. I'll probably feel a lot better tomorrow. So if you can kind of remind yourself that some of these feelings like low emotions, low energy, all of that, it's temporary and you'll get through it. And the tough experiences are the ones that we grow from. So don't be afraid to travel alone. Don't be afraid to prep, even if you're single or whatever it is, because those challenging experiences are going to help grow you as a person.
100%. And too, like it helps you grow as a person. So when you do, you know, start a romantic relationship, you have the ability to lay out like A to Z, this is me. This is what I do. This is why I do it. This is how I do it. And this is me. Take it or leave it, you know, and it really helps you understand who you are as a person. It builds that confidence level up. It builds that reassurance of like, yeah, this is me. This is what I want to do. This is how I like to do it and why I do it. And again, take it or leave it. If that, you know, falls into your line and, you know, we can do this together, that's great. If not, then hey, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. I feel like I think I consider myself a little bit of a late bloomer just in general. And so I think, you know, my years of spent being single and whatnot, I think I've grown a lot as a person. And I feel like all those experiences have made me better. And so then the next time I do date someone, I'm going to show up better for that person. I'm going to be a better partner. I'm going to be more self-aware. So, you know, for my single gals, maybe, or for the competitors out there that do feel lonely or feel like you don't have a support system, remind yourself, like, this is temporary. You can absolutely create the life that you want. You can find those connections. You can find your people. A lot of times what we're going through in the moment, it can feel like a lot, but it's just temporary. Everything is temporary. So it will get better. And, you know, just stay strong because the tough experiences are where the growth is.
Yeah. That's so perfectly said.
Thank you, Sammy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think we covered a lot. I mean, I don't know that I've
going to say, more. I think it's like a great stopping point. Honestly, I think that was a super powerful message. And I think we've definitely covered this topic.
Yeah.
To its potential for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we could probably even go on, you know, more offshoots and things like that, navigating social situations or whatnot. But yeah, we'll wrap it here. So thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on an audio platform, don't forget to rate, review, give us 5 stars, and obviously share with a friend. We'll catch you guys next time.